Oh no.
All right, good. Now great. we're all synced up. Hello, welcome to Oh No with Anna Campion, the podcast all about embarrassing and ridiculous stories. I'm your host, as always, Anna Campion, no name changes here. Welcome to 2021, the year of the second American Civil War. I am joined by the lovely and hilarious Shannon Brown, who is a podcaster, comedian, and filmmaker. Hello, Shannon. I'm pretty. Hello. Did I get your whole resume?
I mean, that's pretty much it.
Okay, cool.
I'll take anything you throw mm-hmm. my way. Mm-hmm. So I am a writer, a filmmaker, and I do host my own podcast. This Will Scare You.
Mm-hmm.
It's I will tell a story about something I've researched that is kind of falls under the category of creepy, paranormal, unexplained. And then each week I have a new guest on and they tell their personal experience with things like ghosts, aliens, something creepy happened to them. So you get to hear like a personal account of something spooky.
Cool. I'm a big, like, I listen to a lot of like true crime podcasts and stuff like that. So I'm not quite in the spooky realm, but I also have gotten very into, I don't know if you know this, but all of the old original Unsolved Mysteries are on YouTube, like the full episodes. And oh, wow. So I just put those on repeat. And so, and I'm sure, you know, you're a fan of the paranormal, so you're familiar, but a lot of them have to do with like different aliens and hauntings and stuff like that, which is cool. So I feel like I'm kind of getting into that sphere a little more.
Yeah, I've dabbled a little bit in true crime on the mm-hmm. show and Unsolved Mysteries. Have you seen any of the new seasons?
I watched the entire first one, and I think I've watched a few episodes in the second one. The first episode was like Ron Rivera or Ray Rivera or whatever his name is, and that one is just like so tough. Like I could barely get through that. But there was one Unsolved Mysteries in the new season where it's like the entire like New England town that like had an alien invasion.
Yes. They bananas. All think, well, not all of them, but like a substantial group of people all had an alien experience on one night
mm-hmm.
and the rest of the town thinks they're all insane.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, when enough people say it, you're kind of like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It could be true, man. that's cool. Have you always been into like sort of paranormal and spooky stuff?
Yeah. Like I would consider myself kind of a weird hybrid. Like ever since I was a kid, I've always loved Halloween. I've loved spooky things, but I've also always been very afraid of things.
Right.
So I love horror movies now, but mm-hmm. when I was a kid, I was too afraid to like even watch them.
Mm-hmm.
And like for fear that whatever happened in that movie could then happen in real life. And the same actually goes for like what I'm going to be talking about today. I was like terrified of haunted houses.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember my aunt and uncle were babysitting me, my brother, and my sister one night and took us and our cousins to a haunted hayride. And I was just absolutely petrified. Like the whole time I was like shaking and crying like under my uncle's coat, would not look up,
mm-hmm.
had like full on panic attack. And then like my mom was like, oh, okay. Like, you know, maybe my kids aren't huge nerds and mm-hmm. I can finally take them myself on a haunted hayride. And I like dug my heels in, screamed, made my parents put me back in the car. We left.
Yeah.
But I ended up getting over that and working in a haunted house myself. But
well,
I was
there
still
you go.
Very afraid of it.
Yeah, I'm the same. Well, okay, so I've never liked Halloween. I always, but I think that's a product of my anxiety more than anything. Mm-hmm. It always felt like so much pressure, and it always felt like I was just buckling under that pressure of Halloween. I'm not super into like dressing up and makeup and stuff like that. Like I've never been, and not necessarily like as like a a jab to girly girls or people who are into that or anything like that. It's just never been my thing. And so I think when Halloween, like sort of when I became more of an autonomous being, I always just felt like I was like, I want the least amount of effort possible. and I'm also not that into candy. Like I've never had that much of a sweet tooth. So even that part of it, I was kind of like, you know, I mean, I love a Reese's cup, don't get me wrong, but
doesn't matter what shape it is to you.
No. I'm just as happy to get them the day after, you know, Halloween. I remember when I was in the fourth grade, I went as a leaf blower because I saw it online where I took a baseball hat and then to the tip of the brim I taped a leaf, like a mm-hmm. like a fallen tree leaf, to the front, so it was like the leaf was right here and it was taped by the stem, and I would blow on it and I was leaf blower. And
I love that.
And I was just wearing like the clothes I wore to school and like a baseball hat that I, you know, had. And I mean, I loved it too. I was amped on it, but I also get scared super easily. So I, I've never really been into horror. Like, I've only just gotten into sort of horror movies. Mm-hmm. But even then, it's like, I can never do something like Insidious or Saw or something like super like, gory or horror filled. Like, this, the only stuff I can do, like, I can do, like, Night of the Living Dead and, like, sort of older, like, you know, sort of classic, like, horror movies. Yeah. And then, I like, Midsommar and, like, Get Out and some of that, like, more, like, thrillery stuff. But I can't do horror and ghosts and stuff. It really... Yeah. It really freaks me out. And the closest I've come, actually, the only real, I think, like, true horror thing that I've gotten into that I, like, genuinely like a lot is the Haunting of Hill House and the Haunting of Bly Manor, which...
That's so funny. Yeah. I thought Haunting of Hill House was very scary.
It was horrifying, but I... but I was... I think... I don't know. And I think, like, part of it was, like... I think that the part of horror that I think is really interesting in terms of, like, you know, film and television is that, like, I think that there is, like, a huge opportunity to, like, look into, like, how trauma affects people and, like, you know, all that stuff, which I think is, like, an interesting examination of the psyche. And I think that's what the two Haunting series have done. But I didn't watch Haunting of Hill House after sundown. Like, I watched it.
Oh,
like, I watched same. It. I woke up at, you know, 11 o'clock on a Saturday and I was like, okay, I'll bang out three episodes and then I'm going to put my laptop away. Like, I can't do it. But I thought it was great. Like, I thought it was really well done. And I also liked all the actors in it and stuff in both series. But yeah, so you got over your fear of haunted houses and you were able to work in one.
I wouldn't say I got over my fear. Then I was still very afraid. Like, at a certain point in our training, we were broken down, you know, we're broken down into different sections or groups, or they called it zones.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to go through the entire haunted house. So, like, our coworkers, we all had someone to practice on.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, you're just working with a bunch of strangers. And we didn't have I don't think we were in costume yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I asked one of my new coworkers if I could grab her arm because I get really afraid and I need you to know I might grab your arm. And she was like, that's okay. Can I hold your hand? And I was like, perfect.
Yeah.
So we went through and like I was scared. It was scary. You know, as employees, we got like a free pass to go through on our night off again. I found it very scary, even though I was aware of what was happening.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, it's something about the jump scares of it that really, like, they're really rattling. Where was it, like, what what area are you from originally? Like, where were you working in this haunted house?
Yeah, so I'm from Pennsylvania, and this was actually one of the top 10 rated haunted houses in our nation.
Wow.
What part of Pennsylvania? Well, I'm from Bucks County, Pennsylvania. Okay. If anyone is familiar with the Sesame Street themed theme park, Sesame Place, I'm from where that is. But so otherwise,
is that like central Pennsylvania?
You know, I am no, not really. It's like, I would say it's a little bit closer towards like New Jersey, New York.
Got it. It's not far off from like that sort of Philly type area.
Right. It's like 20 minutes away from the city. Right. And the haunted house was actually in Eastern State Penitentiary in Philly.
That's fucking intense.
Yes.
No wonder that you were so freaked out. It was probably haunted too, like legitimately.
Well, I also think I might have seen a ghost. Mm-hmm. Like, personally, I'm kind of like on the fence. I consider myself to have like healthy skepticism.
Mm-hmm.
But while working one night, I did see someone who like didn't really belong there and was just kind of like chilling up against a wall smoking a cigarette. And like, mm-hmm. I mean, this was like, I think it was like 2012. You couldn't smoke indoors anymore.
Right, yeah.
And I was like, that's really weird. And I also couldn't smell any cigarette smoke.
Right.
And I was like, I wonder why that guy is just like there. Like, there are people, you know, people were approaching, like, mm-hmm. you know, the audience or whatever. And I was like, that's so strange. Like, I don't even really recognize that guy. Like, I don't know, like, who is that? And then, like, you know, I turn to see where the people are, like, my, mm-hmm. you know, I got to get ready to scare them. And I turn back and the guy was gone.
And yeah, I was that's like, a ghost.
Did I see a ghost?
Yeah, that's like some, you know, like prison laundry worker who was on his smoke break or whatever.
Yes. Well, and there's like, I mean, it's, if architecturally it is beautiful, like morally and societally, obviously it's
pretty
very
bad.
Grim.
Yeah.
But they did very bad things there to people who were prisoners.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's like in the paranormal world, there's this theory called the stone tape theory that like bad events or bad energy can be trapped and stored in natural materials like stone or wood. And if that's the case, yeah. then, I mean, that residual energy is certainly place.
Yeah, I think I've heard parts of this theory before in terms, it's like a, there's like a show called like Murder Maps or something like that that always shows up for me on Netflix. And I think it kind of goes off that theory where they'll go and like, you know, I think it's like a British show primarily. So they'll go in where different like big murders happened in, you know, the UK and sort of like go to like the places and sort of talk about like what has happened there since then. And so I think that I'm kind of familiar with that theory, like through that, because it's kind of like the idea that like you eventually sort of have these places that are kind of like cursed and yeah. like you, it's like, even if like they're not necessarily like whatever you want to call it, whether it's like bad vibes, bad mojo, like spirits, whatever it is, but like it's definitely palpable to
right.
all types of people. So it seems like that's kind of the vibe at the Eastern State Penitentiary.
Yeah, yeah. And like, I mean, my high school boyfriend and I were like, you know, super into like all the ghost shows. We thought they were very fun. And like, mm-hmm. we had gone and done a tour at Eastern State Penitentiary. And I remember, like, you know, we have like our little headphones on and we're doing like a self-guided audio tour. And it is like, I mean, it's a very serious place to be in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's massive. It was the first penitentiary in the nation. It's mm-hmm. what they based other penitentiaries and prisons off of. And he was just like, oh, I really don't feel good. I think there's like a presence here. Mm-hmm. My head hurts. I feel dizzy. And like, we're, you know, back then, like we had our digital cameras, we're like, you know, snapping pictures, and he's like,
right.
there's orbs. I think there's like an entity here.
Yeah.
And that's why I don't feel well. And I was just like, I mean, I also think we're in like a 200-year-old prison. Maybe there's mold. And
right. Yeah.
that could be affecting you. And he was like, no, no, no.
Yeah.
Ghost. And I was just like, whatever you want to,
you know,
whatever.
I wouldn't, belief system. I wouldn't be surprised if both were true. I wouldn't be surprised if there was like a very healthy colony of black mold. And also, you know, these, you know, fucking 1920s, you know, guys on their smoke break, whatever, who you're seeing.
I mean, it is like famously haunted. Mm-hmm. And then I'm fairly sure I saw, either my eyes were playing tricks on me, or maybe I saw a ghost, or mm-hmm. maybe it was just like, I don't know, some guy I had never met before that decided to like go deep within the penitentiary to take a smoke break for some reason.
Listen, which Occam's doesn't razor, really compute. You know, some usually the simplest explanation is true, and ghosts seem simplest to me. But what do I? Yeah. I also haven't had any personal experiences with ghosts ever, which is, so I went to school in Williamsburg, Virginia, which, you know, I went to William & Mary, which is across the street from Colonial Williamsburg, which also, like, they run a lot of ghost tours and stuff. Like, there's a mm-hmm. lot of sort of, like, you know, colonial ghosts around there, allegedly. I have a lot of friends who have had different ghost encounters. And we also have the Colonial Parkway Killer, and also the guy who tried to shoot Reagan lives in Colonial Williamsburg. So we have a
lot. Wow.
Yeah, he doesn't live in Colonial Williamsburg. He lives in Williamsburg, Virginia. So, so I kind of thought that I was going to have an encounter at some point, because, you know, I mean, like, I took, like, you're a lot of what William & Mary and Colonial Williamsburg have done really well is, like, they've preserved, like, a lot of the academic buildings are really old and, like, are, you know, not necessarily original, but, like, you know, pretty close to original from, like, you know, the 1700s and 1800s. And, like, you know, it's just a super old campus, and there's, you know, there was definitely slave labor there. Like, it was definitely not good. So mm-hmm. I always thought that I would have one, but I didn't. So I don't know. Maybe I'm just hoping that I encounter a ghost, but I haven't yet. What was your, like, job in the haunted house? Like, what creature were you?
Yeah, so, I mean, kind of, like, starting from the beginning, when I was, like, 12 or 13, I just, like, really had this desire to perform. And I think it's, like, that partly why I love Halloween so much is because of, like, the pageantry.
Mm-hmm. And, no, that makes sense, like, yeah.
I just, like, I had dreams of being on Broadway and being, like, a stage actor. I can't sing or dance, and I couldn't when I was 13.
That
either.
Hasn't stopped some people. Lin-Manuel Miranda can't sing either.
He's doing pretty well for himself. I'll say that.
We are giving him too much money. Yeah. We've hit the cap on the list. We can't give him any more money until he does something new.
Yeah, but, like, I mean, I had this desire to have a creative outlet, and I remember, like, just begging my mom to take me to open mics to try to do stand-up at 13, and she was like, no. Which makes sense as
good
an
mom.
Adult.
Good
I'm like,
mom move.
Yeah, that was a good parent move. But I just, like, really had this desire for an outlet, and I knew, like, you know, Eastern State was, like, the scary, like, one of the, like, maybe 2 to 3 scariest haunted houses in our state.
Mm-hmm.
And I, like, emailed the creative director or whoever and thought I was, like, being, like, very professional. I made, like, the text, like, black and orange. And I was just like, my name is Shannon Brown. I'm 13. I would love a job with you. Like, mm-hmm. it's my greatest wish. Like, whatever I said. And they wrote back, and they were so rude. They were just like, you have to be 18 to work here. And also, your font is very unprofessional. And I was just like, you clearly know I'm a child.
Yeah. Like, I made it clear that I... Like, if you couldn't tell by me saying I am 13, it was definitely clear by my Halloween-themed font and color, you asshole.
Yeah. I'm like, obviously, okay, whatever. So then, like, I mean, I'm 31, and to this day, I remember that email, because I'm like, lady, you try to have a little humor in your life.
No, anyway. I get that too. I've had a couple of experiences that I'm 24 and I recently, I told my mom about one experience I had when I was like 10 and she was like, you never told me that. And I was like, that's shocking because I think about it literally every day, like of an adult being yes. rude to me as like a kid.
Yes. I mean, this is off topic, but like I've had a job since I was 13. Like I've just been working since then. And like, I distinctly remember several other jobs I held, like retail, being a receptionist, being whatever. And like, I remember the adults who were rude to me and just being like, this doesn't make sense. Like you clearly are dealing with something else to shit on a child or someone who's like 10 years your junior.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Like I got my first like, you know, kind of like job where I had to file taxes of some kind when I was maybe like, you know, 14 or something like that. Mm-hmm. But I've been like babysitting and stuff since I was like 12. So it's the exact, and a lot of, I worked, you know, like summer jobs basically where I would do, I worked as like the receptionist at the pool that my family went to. And I was also in charge of like booking the different, you know, like, you know, we had a couple decks that you could reserve for birthday parties and, you know, blah, 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 stuff like that. And I always had to deal with like the worst adults in the world. And I was like, I just want to remind you, like one time one woman like went to my boss and said that I had like ignored her or whatever. And I was like, I had no idea you were there. I'm also 14 years old. So like,
yeah,
I'm a kid. I'm a shithead. I can't drive myself here. My dad has to come pick me up after my shift.
And even in like in so many positions, I feel like it's mostly an entitlement issue mm-hmm. where it's like, well, no, you don't get to get the answer that you want as fast as you want just because we are blessed with your presence here today.
Yeah.
Like, let's just remember that.
Yeah, 100%.
But yeah, I mean, I had always like had this drive to like want to work at the haunted house. And then I was planning to move from Pennsylvania to California. And I just had like very general dreams for when I moved to California. Like I wanted to write, I wanted to do comedy, and I wasn't sure, maybe I would get into acting. I don't know. But mm-hmm. in order to do that, I was like, logically, I should have some experience acting before mm-hmm. I go there. So I did a little bit of background work, and then this acting job kind of came in, and I was like, this is kind of a bucket list thing. If I'm leaving Pennsylvania, I likely won't get this chance again. So I auditioned, I like applied, and then you have to go in for an audition to work at the penitentiary mm-hmm. or at the haunted house at the penitentiary. And I mean, I've done sketch and a little bit of stand up and a lot of improv. So like you would think that I'm comfortable performing, but mm-hmm. in like interviews and auditions, I lock up, like I get very self-conscious. And
yeah,
from what I remember, it was like, I mean, almost 10 years ago. We went in to this like rotunda, which is like the center where the main cell blocks are like off of. And you're with every manager of every zone and the entire creative team. And then like you have like a few other people who are auditioning in there with you.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just like, okay, be a monster. And so like you just like have to go,
right?
And like there were some people who were really good. There was one guy who was immediately disqualified because he made himself bleed. He was asking a woman in line to like punch him in the face, like,
oh my, you know, because
in his head he was like, I'm gonna show them I'm really committed and I'm gonna show them I bless can be
him.
scary,
bless him.
And but like what it read to everyone else was like, you are a major safety liability.
Oh, for sure.
Like something bad is going to happen.
I'll bet he's some method extra in a Quentin Tarantino movie now.
You know, I hope he is. I hope he found his path because otherwise it was very scary to be around.
Or he's in like the WWE.
You know, I strongly believe that there's a path for everyone, and I hope he found his mm-hmm. because he did not make it into the haunted house. And like, they brought over, I think at the time the creative director was this woman, Amy, and like, she was like, you know, I'm like a tough as nails person.
Right.
If you can scare me, then like, you have done it. And like, throughout my tenure there, like, she would come through almost every night, and you would have to try to scare people who did get her good would like get a prize. And I always tried and I always failed.
Ugh, damn it.
You know, like, I did get the job, and they break us down into our groups, and we had to go through scare training, which, like, you learn, like, the names of types of scares, and, like, they train you on how to do it. And they just kept stressing safety to the point where I was like, what could happen here? Right. Because, right. like, I get it. Like, it's an old, like, it's a historic landmark. The entire reason they have the haunted house is to generate enough income to be able to, like, float the museum the rest of right. the year yeah. and, like, make restorations. So I was like, I mean, really, like, how bad could this be? We're in scare training, and we're like, I think we're like going around, like literally moving about in a circle, like, you know, like grunting and doing motions and stuff. Mm-hmm. And a guy went through a phone booth, like a historic phone booth, like just put his arm straight through, and then it's just like gushing blood. And the manager again is just like, I must reiterate, yeah. please be safe. Like, oh, stay God. Away from breakable things. And it's just like, okay, I mean, that's like an accident. It's, you know, it sucks, but it's an accident. I mean, mm-hmm. how bad could it get? And so we also weren't allowed to be out of character. They kind okay. of wanted it to be like a Disney feeling where, like, if you see a monster, like, that was the role we were given, was like a scare actor or a monster, like, interchangeably.
And yeah,
if you're seen, we want people to think that you're the scary character. Like, we don't want the atmosphere to be broken.
Mm-hmm.
So you had the choice to either stay in character if you had to like leave your area to go on your break or use the bathroom, or you could run. And because I lock up, like, I was fine within the haunted house being spooky, mm-hmm. but like, once you leave your area, you're still in the penitentiary walls, but it is like lit up like a baseball field. Like, it's extremely yeah. bright. You're just like some jerk off in a costume. Mm-hmm. And like, I would say maybe 40 to 50% of haunted house attendees want to demean everything about the haunted yeah. house. So
they're kind of in it to be like, this isn't scary. Like,
yeah.
That's yeah. like, I feel like that's a lot of sort of like horror enthusiasts is, I mean, really enthusiasts with everything. It's like, they kind of like kind of have the fun of being super into something is to shit on things that aren't as good as they could be.
Right.
For a lot of people, not for me. I would never, but
well,
yeah,
I
know
it,
what you mean.
It's also some sort of like, I don't know, shitting on it because they don't think it's that good, but also kind of to position themselves as a being above whatever they're watching or doing.
Yeah.
And like, you know, well, I'm not scared, I'm tough and like, you know, macho. So I would run because I didn't want to interact with these people because they would make fun of you.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't do well with being made fun of. I'll remember mm-hmm. it forever, mm-hmm. which is what I did when people would yell at me, run, Forrest, run, because I didn't want to stay in character. So I would just be like booking it in my
at
costume.
At least they weren't clever.
Right. I was like, I mean, this is like 2013. That's a very old reference.
You also
come
don't
up with something better.
Look like Tom Hanks as Forrest Gump in any
Thank you.
Particular way.
You know,
I just really dole out the
running.
Compliments on this podcast.
I'll
keep them coming.
Yeah, thank you. So, I mean, like, you know, you're also working. I had a regular full-time job.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, I would go to work in the city. And, like, there weren't any set hours. Like, you had your arrival time. But the end time was whenever the last person in line was done.
Right.
And we were the last zone. So we had to wait like the longest.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the – I got moved around a lot within the zone. I mean, you, like, they try to figure out, like, where your strengths are. And one of the first areas I was in was the very last room of our area. And the setup is, like, you know, I am welcoming people in, being like, oh, come in, come in, come see this. And I get them in, and, like, they watch this little thing happen, and then I flip a switch, and one of the scare actors, like, comes out at them, and we chase them out the door. So I get my guests in, and I'm, like, watching with my guests, like, for my cue to flip the switch, and I feel an arm around my waist, and I was like, oh, no. And, like, immediately, like, I mean, I am a woman, and people who come through haunted houses harass people. They, you know, some people, they come in and they will literally come in and just, like, wait to punch people in the face. We were warned of that. Some people come in and they sexually harass. And I was, like, getting my hackles up, and I was like, there's a creep touching me. I cannot believe this. And I just, like, to paint the picture, I'm wearing Dickies coveralls that have blisters and pustules all over them.
Right.
And I also have face paint to look like a skeleton.
Sure.
So I turn and look to see who is groping me. Well, not groping, but, you know, caressing who my, put my
a,
waist.
Put a hand on you.
Yeah, who has laid the finger upon me.
How dare you.
I meet eyes with this guy who's, like, 15 to 20 years older than me. And he looks horrified. And I was like, what? Like, I was just like, wait, what is happening? And he was like, I'm so sorry, I thought you were my wife. And, like, books it over to his wife. And I was like, this might be the best scare that I get in this place.
Yeah, like, honestly.
But I mean, just like, this is not.
There's nothing cool. more horrifying than, you know, I haven't necessarily had that experience with someone who was, like, my friend or, like, a partner or anything like that, but I have had that experience as a child in the grocery store and gripping onto someone's legs and then looking up, not my mom, not my dad, and just not knowing that I wanted to die, like, not being conscious that that was the feeling that was entering my body at the time, but in hindsight, looking back and realizing, like, oh, that was the first time I wanted to die. That was, like, and so that's already such a horrifying experience, period. But I have to say, if I looked up, and not only was it not my mom, but it was someone in Dickies coveralls with pustules and blisters and skeleton face makeup, I would lose my mind. That would be the worst case scenario ever. Yeah.
Just like, he was mortified. And, like, I mean, obviously from his reaction, and he was a respectful person, but was just like,
it was clear it was an accident.
Yeah. I mean, he had been through a haunted house. I don't think he necessarily wanted to be there, and then just wanted to end everything. He was just like, I'm done with this. And like, I mean, overall, I really did enjoy working there. It was a very fun experience. But, like, I mean, they were really crummy people. Like, I had a lady spit in my face on the very last night. They, again, like, going back to the safety thing, they said that any group who made it to the end of the season without injuries would, like, the group would receive, I forget what the prize was, like a pizza party or something. Right. And, like, of course, like, nobody did that because, like everything is an injury. Like, you're in the dark in a penitentiary. I mean, people, like, fall, they get scraped, whatever. And I was proud because I hadn't had to go to the nurse at all. And on the very last night, I'm working this room with my friend John. And the whole premise is, like, again, I bring people in, I kind of, like, scare them forward. And then he comes out and slides on knee pads on the floor. And, like, without fail, 100% of the time it worked. And this group comes in, and it's, like, these, like, you know, shitty teens. And they're just, like, talking about how, like, you know, nothing scared them. Like, oh, this place isn't even scary. And I was like, I'm going to scare this kid. I'm going to try an ear creep, which is, like, you get up behind someone's like ear and like, you know, like whisper, you know, creep them out, and it scares them. And like the whole thing is just scaring people forward. So I was like, this is my time to shine, baby. It's my last night. I'm going to nail this. So like I go to get up behind this kid to like creep him out. And John slides out. The kid gets scared and whips his head back, headbutts me in the face, turns around. My face just immediately is gushing blood. Looks at me with a face full of blood and was like, oh, she hit me. And I was just like, my life choices have led me to this point. I could feel
that's like showbiz, baby.
Yeah, little razzle dazzle. Thank you. I could feel that my face is like wet, and I look down, and my outfit has blood on it.
Jesus. So
I run, I book it to the nurse's tent, and like because of where we work, she looks at my clothes and was like, "Is that yours or is that makeup?" And I was like, "It's mine.
It's all mine, baby."
Yeah. We had to like get it all cleaned up, and I like everyone in my area was like, "We didn't know what happened because you just ran away." And I was like, "Yeah, I got a bloody nose. That was it." But not a job of a lot of dignity. So
no, people, for sure.
Yeah, once you can go to haunted houses, be kind. Be kind to those actors. They're going through a lot.
I mean, you know, like I was saying, like, I just am not into Halloween and sort of any of the stuff that really comes with it. Like, my ideal Halloween is spent watching, like, a somewhat creepy or funny movie. And like leaving out a bowl of candy for kids. So I think I've only gone to maybe two haunted houses in my life. And I think one of them I was like one. So I remember one time I had a friend in high school who was like, "Hey, I need someone who like, hey, would you be interested in like sort of doing this thing with me?" It's like this, basically this family would convert their house into a haunted house, like, on Halloween.
Yes. Yeah, we've got a big community of those in California.
And so that would be, like, on Halloween night, they would invite, like, all the kids over, and so people would come, like, in and out from trick-or-treating and stuff, and so, like, me and my friend were there as sort of just kind of, like, wranglers, basically. Like, we were kind of just, like, supervising, keeping an eye. I kind of forget what it was, but I was actually surprised because it was really well done, and it was sort of meant to like scare the little kids, but also it was kind of meant to just kind of like be fun. I don't think they really wanted to there wasn't any blisters or pustules or anything like that, but I remember they had like a big, like, you know, they made like a big cardboard tunnel that was made to look like an Egyptian tomb or something like that, with like, you know, cool. Someone's dad dressed up like a mummy at the end and stuff like that. it was really cool, but like that's the only haunted house experience I can remember. And at that point, you know, that was when I was like, you know, 16, and you know, it was made for kids. So I think even most of the time, I think I was just like in the basement, like changing it, like switching the DVDs from Hocus Pocus to, you know, Charlie the Great Pumpkin or whatever. But yeah, I mean, that sounds like a tough job, honestly. Like, that just sounds like, it sounds like not very high highs and very low lows.
I mean, the high highs came from like scaring people. They called it, if you scared someone like well enough that they would fall down in fear, that was referred to as dropping a body. And when you got someone to do that, I would always like hold back if it were like, you know, people would bring little kids through, and I was right, like, this is supposed to be like very scary, like,
yeah,
it's not the environment for them. So I would just kind of like hold back and like acknowledge them, but not try to scare them. But like when you scared an adult, it was very satisfying because, like, I mean, that's what they paid for. They knew what they were getting into.
Right. Yeah.
But there is like a wide variety when it comes to haunted houses. There's like home haunts where people will do just like a walkthrough fun thing. But again, they put all of their own personal time and money and house into that. Then there's, you know, more well-known haunted houses. And then there's like full-on psychos. Have you heard of I think it's like McCamey or McAnamey Manor?
I don't think I have, but please elaborate.
This
both myself and my captive audience are enthralled.
This man has been on several haunted house documentaries, and like each time he just is like going further into whatever layer of hell he came from. He's like some sort of ex-military or CIA or claims to be, and he's got a ton of acreage. And at first it was just like, this is a very intense haunted house where they can take you for hours. They will lock you in like a freezer. And he gets like local teens or people he knows to be like, hey, you come work here. I don't know how they're compensated, but he's just like, all right. And your job is to really scare people. You can do whatever you want to them. Jesus. So people are like getting like their heads dunked in water and like all this crazy shit. And then turned into, it's like a personalized like kind of kidnapping experience where have to sign waivers. You have to have like your doctor sign waivers.
Oh my God.
And he will take you captive for, I think it's like up to 8 hours, and you're essentially tortured. It is horrible. And like most people in like the haunted house community hate him because it makes people think that like that's how everyone is.
Right.
And like that's what you're going to get if you go to like your neighborhood home haunt in Burbank, where it's just like a family who wanted to do like a themed spooky display.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have like a full-on psychopath doing insane shit to people.
Where is he like based?
I honestly, I can't remember, but
it's gotta be somewhere
he could have a lot of area. And like, of course, like the cops would get involved. It's gotta be somewhere that
really values like states' rights or something. That's kind of what I'm thinking.
Yeah, like it's his land. He can do what he wants.
What would your personal, like, what would scare you the most in a personalized kidnapping?
Everything from the beginning to the end. So,
well, yeah, but I guess if you know, we're going through like what your night. So for example, like my two biggest fears are birds and, I'd probably say open water really freaks me out. So like for me, if you locked me in a room with like anywhere from one to a million birds, I would lose my mind. Like, I would lose it. Or if I was kidnapped and then, like, I was just, you know, bag over my head opened, like, I was woken up and I was in, you know, the middle of...
And you're a scarecrow now.
And, you know, there's like a parrot in the middle of the, ocean. I'd lose it. I would just want to die right there.
So, basically, like, no pirate-themed kidnappings or haunted houses.
I find pirates to be delightful, in theory, but...
Interesting.
Pirates don't scare me at all. It's just, it's not so much... Okay, so birds, I mean, really my new number, I mean, if you're gonna make me go through it, the bird I'm most scared of is the turkey. That's the bird I'm most scared of.
I mean, they are big.
They're huge. They're aggressive. They're stupid. They have no fear. I'm also very scared.
They got nothing to lose, and that is terrifying.
I'm also very scared of geese. I'm very scared of chickens, pigeons. Blue jays and cardinals. I've been attacked by a cardinal. My godmother was attacked by a blue jay. I mean, I'm horrified of all birds. And I live in New York, so I've had to learn to...
It's bird central.
Well, it's pigeon central. And it actually, so I was home from Thanksgiving until Christmas, and I came back right before New Year's. And so I was, in my first week back, I obviously work from home and, you know, it's quarantine and stuff. But I go on my daily walks. And 2 days in a row, I saw a severed pigeon wings on the sidewalk.
Oh, I hate that.
And I was like, and here's the, like, the thing is, like, you actually never see a dead pigeon, because what generally happens is, like, birds know when they're gonna die, and so they go to, like, their nest and mm-hmm. just die there. So you'll never see, like, unless something, like, really crazy happens, like, rarely are you gonna see, like, a dead pigeon on the street. That would only be if they got like hit by a car or something. But yeah. I think that, like, I don't know, one of the cats or something in my neighborhood, like, fucking killed this pigeon and left its wing, or I don't know. It's fucking horrifying. But anyway, so that would be my personal hell in kidnapping, I think.
I consider you to be a very fortunate person, because you have very focused fears, and I have anxiety, and it kind of just, like, spans everything.
Sure.
Mostly around nighttime. Of course, I don't never want to be taken. Sure. That's why I said, like, from beginning.
Right, right.
I would be panicked. Like, I'll take the dog out, and I'm always worried my car has been towed or stolen. Mm-hmm. So I have to check where my car is. Next, I will think that someone is in my car because of shadows.
Yes.
I will also think someone is underneath my car, because my aunt drilled it into my head when I was young that people hide under your car, snip your Achilles, bing bang, they got you, baby. You can't get away.
sounds like your aunt's into true crime. Sounds like she watches a lot of Dateline.
I don't know, honestly, what her interests are. She doesn't strike me as a true crime person. I think it was mostly just like suburban white lady is like, yeah, beware the world.
Yeah, yeah, fair enough.
Now,
and I will say, the world is tough.
Yeah,
for a lot of ladies,
it is good to have, like, you know, have your wits about you, mm-hmm. and like be aware that, like, some people don't have the best intentions, but. It can also backfire, and then you become me and you're afraid of everything. Like, one of my fears of haunted houses was that a deranged person would be in there and take it too far and hurt someone.
Right.
And, like, even going, I love haunted houses now. I go to Universal Studios, Hollywood Horror Nights mm-hmm. every year, you know, pre-pandemic. And I always found it very fun. But, you know, and even because of the state of our country, I'm always just a little bit worried, like, being in a crowd, that something bad is going to happen.
Oh, sure. Oh, that's – I'm not at college anymore, but when I was at college, one of my friends who – she was a senior when I was a freshman, but – so, like, my college, William & Mary, is very notorious for being – it's, like, a very type A student goes there, like – everyone's pretty high strung and pretty into, you know, their grades and their extracurriculars, and, you know, it's a nerd school. So, like, you know, it makes sense. Mm-hmm. But, like, my friend, you know, when, you know, I'm a freshman and, you know, la-di-da, and I'm, so I, cause I started college in 2015. And so, you know, this was sort of like, I started college right in the beginning wave of, like, school shootings, really, like, because, like, Sandy Hook had happened a few years prior, and I think Parkland happened, like, the year after I got to college. And so my friend Annabelle, she would say, like, I swear, like, there's gonna be a day where someone, like, gets a B- on their paper mm-hmm. who needs to get an A and is gonna go bananas. And so that was a fear that was drilled into me pretty early as well. So I can totally empathize with you on that, because yeah, just because of, like, the way that America is with, like, gun laws and stuff, that, like, mm-hmm. being in a crowd is not safe for a lot of people. And now I live in, you know, New York, which mm-hmm. is, I love, it's a city that never sleeps, the Big Apple, baby. But, you know, sometimes you get in, like, a crowd on the subway and you're kind of like, I can understand why terrorists would want to come. I understand there's a lot of people, you know?
I feel like part of that is so disturbing because it's counterintuitive. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to be safer to be around more people.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, not. If for anyone who's listening in a different country, sound off about how great you feel on the daily.
I think you're not here. I think I have a couple listeners in Europe because I get stats from Anchor, and it's like, you know, 99% of my listeners are in the United States, obviously, but then I have like less than 1% in Great Britain and less than 1% in maybe like Germany or something like that. So I'm jealous of you two.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting? Like, I will also have people from outside of the United States, and I'm like, how wild do they think we are with like the stuff that we can relate to here? You know, like,
yeah.
Are they just listening to this and it's like just full fiction? Like, they're just like, wow, all of this is just so wild.
Well, yeah. And I mean, particularly with like the gun stuff, I think that it's just like, I mean, it doesn't happen in any other, you know, I use this with quotes, but, you know, sort of like westernized country in the world. It doesn't happen in Canada. It doesn't happen in, you know, Mexico. It doesn't happen in like the UK. It doesn't happen in Germany. It doesn't happen in France. It doesn't happen in like the sort of countries that we often like compare ourselves to. And it's like, yeah, because they have fucking gun laws. Because they don't feel like they have to uphold a constitution that was made by a bunch of farmers who had no idea that we would create fucking automatic weapons in the next 200 years. Like, that's bananas. So yeah, I mean, it's pretty depressing, I feel like, when you think about it too much. But
yeah, I mean, like, going back to your original question, the kidnapping thing, all of it. I would never, it's something I would literally never do.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like if there were some sort of like, what can my loved one do to figure out if I'm the true Shannon in like some sort of clone situation or something like that? Me saying that I would ever sign up for like a kidnapping and torture haunted house experience.
Yeah, that's not you.
They know it is not me because I am far too worried about everything. I have asthma, so I don't do well with any sort of breathing restriction or weird waterboarding shit. I have a fear of most things. I don't want any of that to happen to me.
Yeah, I've always kind of had this theory about like sort of hardcore like horror fans. And I think it sort of applies to people who would like do this experience. Is that I'm kind of like, you haven't actually dealt with anything hard in your life. Yes. Like, you haven't actually had to like worry about a paycheck. You haven't actually had to like, you know, fear about like one of your family members being sick. Like, there is clearly a lack of, which, you know, thank
there's
God
a level
there's
of
a lack
privilege
of
privilege that allows you to not have worries about these things.
Yeah. Do you hear that, by the way?
Do you have pets?
No.
Oh, is that a vacuum?
My roommate is grinding coffee.
Oh.
So I'm just
no, my boyfriend will do that and I'm like, that is the loudest thing on earth.
Yeah. Well, and I always don't do it because she's asleep.
Yeah,
anyway,
normally when I podcast, I'll have to like, I lock myself in my bedroom and we have three cats and a dog. So like we wrangle everyone. Mm-hmm. And there have been a few episodes that I'm editing and I have to chop it up because I can hear it sounds like he has taken out every dish we own and like loudly washed it individually, dried it and like clanged everything back together. And I'm like, what the fuck were you doing that whole time?
Yeah.
Like you knew I was in there.
Yeah, when I was home, I recorded a podcast episode and my my dogs were upset with me that I was podcasting, my, you know, my family dogs, and they it's funny cuz in the video of the episode, you just see them kind of like crossing back and forth right behind me and it's cute, but I was like, "Hey, can you guys relax? I'm asking for 30 minutes." I'm asking, that's all, But I do really think that, like, people who really, like, seek out to be, like, that scared and that, like, traumatized, I'm kind of like, you have never actually dealt with any real hardship, and, like, I'm glad for you in a certain way, but, like, also, like, you know, it just kind of shows, it just, for me, it's kind of like, if you're like super into this shit and you like think it's fun to like get, you know, tortured and kidnapped, then like, I mean, you live a pretty charmed life, I think.
Yeah. Well, and I've heard, I don't know if it's true or not, but I've heard that it's like similar for, I guess like DOMs, like S&M people, the clientele who wants to like really be demeaned and like just like have the shit kicked out of them.
Oh, they're always like very Harvard wealthy, educated CEOs or something like that. Like it's
yeah, like they want that. Mm-hmm. And it does seem kind of telling, like when you watch the documentaries and stuff that this guy is in, like some of his clients are just like, yeah, I'm a normal guy. I've got like my house and like I got nothing else going on. I figured why not try it? Mm-hmm. And it's like, because this is horrifying and dangerous. Yeah. Like that's why.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, you know, like I don't necessarily like I totally see what you mean. I don't want to necessarily compare like this to like DOMs and stuff and sort of like BDSM sex culture, because mm-hmm. I think that's a lot safer. A lot of people seem to really have their shit together more than, you know, this random guy in the middle of nowhere who's like, yeah, I pay a bunch of teens to kidnap you.
Yeah. and like that, I feel like that is part of the issue, because people will, I mean, sex work is already so has such a stigma around mm-hmm. it. And then there are people who like it's torture porn. And like that's what Saw falls under that mm-hmm. category. I think the Saw movies were one of like the first genres to like coin that term or something.
Yeah.
And like I think a lot of people will equate those two types of industries together when they're not the same at all.
No.
And I also think maybe that's why I like the big box, you know, haunted houses more, because I know it's all fake. Like this is like a Chucky themed walkthrough. Mm-hmm. It's gonna be safe, but right. like just some like dude out in the woods. No, thank you.
Yeah. You kind of want with stuff like that, with stuff where you're going to have to sign a waiver. Like I do want a touch of regulation, you know?
Yeah. I mean, and like there are plenty of places I do that want have a you touch of liability. Yeah. I mean, there are plenty of places who have waivers because they don't want you to like fall down and like sue them. Or
yeah, yeah, yeah.
100%. We had people who like literally ran into walls because they were so scared. So like that's one thing. But for you to, I don't know. And it yeah, says a I lot mean, about the person to not, most haunted houses and stuff like that have a storyline, but to just be like, there's no storyline. I'm going to hog tie you and like, put you in mud. It's like,
fucking what? Weird, dude.
Why did you think of that?
I'll bet he's killed some people, man. I wouldn't be
guaranteed.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Who does that? Yeah.
I mean, here's the thing. If he, you know, has
guaranteed allegedly, I'll say.
Yeah. Yeah, allegedly. But like, you know, what I will say about that guy is if he has these like urges and has found a way to like make money off of them and not actually hurt anyone, then kudos. I wish Dahmer had done the same thing. But
there's an interesting layer to this. Originally, he charged $0. You would bring pet food cans for donation.
Weird.
So it was just like a passion project of his.
Weird.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. No, that guy's dark.
Yeah.
There's some dark shit happening there.
Yeah. And I feel like that, it's like that, I mean, there's levels to every sort of like fandom and culture and, you know, even like whatever. But that is a level that I feel like kind of tarnishes everyone else's like safe interest.
Yeah. Fuck. Wow. I feel I've learned so much today.
Yeah. Sorry to derail it from embarrassing.
No. This is the whole
stories
point. No.
Too.
Because here's the thing. I say embarrassing stories, but this is like an absurd sort of part of like, I think pretty specifically American culture, like this, you know, Halloween and like, you know, the ceremony that goes around it. And mm-hmm. So I don't want Oh No to only be about embarrassing stuff. Like, I want it to also sort of encompass like sort of things where you kind of are discovering this information or you're sort of in these situations and you're kind of like, what? How did I get here? Excuse me. So this is perfect. This is a great episode. This is a perfect example of that. But I like to sort of ask a question to, you know, keep it light and on maybe a positive note, as we just potentially accused a man of being a serial killer. Allegedly, we don't know.
Who knows?
Who's to say? But if you were some sort of like classic Halloween monster, like which would you be, do you think?
That's a really fun question. I think there are like, you know, we have the old school like universal monsters like Frankenstein's monster. Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Sure.
Dracula. And then we've got like our 80s, like Freddy, Jason, Chucky, Michael Myers. I feel like there's like, you know, you have to evaluate their power, which would be, you know, Frankenstein strong. Dracula, he's got a lot of cool powers. You could fly, shapeshift, drink blood. I mean, that's cool to some people. You know, you're strong. I feel like they have like some mind control thing in those some storylines.
Or like mind reading, like,
yeah, well, something.
And if
like
you're going
that.
By the Twilight vampires, then they all have some sort of kind of like ESP type situation going
on. And like speed, very fast. The like, you know, more recent monsters, Freddy, I mean, he can get you in your dreams, but I feel like the caveat to that is believing that he is dangerous in your dreams.
Right.
So I consider him to be kind of weak. Also a child molester, not really what I'm going for.
Yeah, I hear you.
Not really my, it doesn't fit with my brand, you know?
It's not really your thing.
Yeah. Michael Myers, pretty strong. I mean, he seems to be indestructible. He is, he's not very fast, but he's going to get you no matter what. You can't outrun
him.
He's
relentless.
Yeah, relentless, holds a grudge, which I relate to hard. Jason, I feel like he's pretty beefy. Relate to that as well. However, he was drowned, not into that.
Right.
So really, I'm going to say my contenders are Dracula or Michael Myers.
Okay.
Do you have a, do you have like a one for yourself? Do you have one that calls out to you?
I'm sort of going for more kind of like, you know, the Draculas, your werewolves, your sort of the things that would be in like a Scooby-Doo movie.
Okay.
So like, you know, my sort of initial instinct, like when I think Halloween, I think of the Scooby-Doo movie with the Hex Girls, who they think are witches, but they're just goths.
Is that like the sexy band?
Yeah.
Okay, I do remember this.
And we're gonna put a spell on you. So I wouldn't be them, but I think I'd be just like a witch, you know, just like a sort of generic hag witch, crone. I think
I like that.
Yeah, because I like the idea of being like a recluse who just like, you know, talks to a pet, like a familiar, and just makes potion all day, like that kind of,
which is really what we're doing now.
That kind of fucks. Yeah, that, my potion is a gin and tonic. And my pet is my iPhone that I just talk to every day, and it tells me you might like therapy. So yeah, I think I just go for sort of like a, you know, your bog standard witch, but like a hot witch.
Like a cool hot bog witch.
Yeah, I like for sure. Well, Shannon, thank you so much for being on this episode of Oh No with Anna Campion. This has been so fun.
Thank you for having me.
I know you mentioned your podcast earlier, but please plug away to anything my captive audience can find you on.
Oh my goodness. Well, you know, you can find This Will Scare You just about anywhere that you listen to podcasts, and also on social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. I tried putting it on YouTube for a little while, fell off that boat, might get back on. Who knows?
I tried to put a couple episodes of this up on YouTube, because, by the way, I meant to tell you earlier, I usually tell people that I'm going to record the Zoom. Okay. So I did start a little bit later.
Put myself together.
You look great. So I might use that just for clips on Instagram and stuff. But I usually record the Zooms, and I've tried to put them on YouTube, and I've tried to put like 3 episodes up, and every time they're like, we can't. I'm like, what do you
really?
You can't. Yeah.
I don't record video, and I think maybe that might be why there's not a lot of traction. But like, I put up the audio recordings.
Sure.
And I posted an episode in like one of these like spooky Facebook groups I'm in.
Sure.
To like let people know like, hey, this went up if you're interested. And some guy was like, you should try putting these on YouTube. And I was like, oh, I did. They just like didn't really work out. And he was like,
no, you.
He was like, things take time. You should try it. And I was like, that was like a very encouraging stranger.
Oh, that took a different. I made that guy creepier than he probably was.
And like at first I was just like, oh man, I'm trying. And then like he was just like encouraging. But yeah, so you could find This Will Scare You basically wherever you listen to podcasts. Again, you'll hear me tell a story about something I am passionate about, that I find very interesting and spooky, and you'll hear a guest tell a story about something that happened to them personally, ideally personally. Sometimes it's like it happened to their parent.
Whatever. Right, sure. Sure, I hear you. cool. All right. So yeah, I'll link all of those in the show notes, and so give people, all your different, your handles and your links and stuff. On my end, at Oh No The Pod on Instagram and Twitter, give those a follow. That's where I post little clips and highlights from different episodes, which I think are funny, but I also edit and caption all of them. And then we're Oh No The Pod, we're Oh No with Anna Campion on every, pretty much the same at pretty much anywhere you can get podcasts. If you are so inclined, our Patreon and Ko-fi pages are up and ready for your money. So if you want to join the Patreon, you get a couple stickers and you get a shout out at the end of the episode. And if you donate any amount of money to the Ko-fi, then I'll send you a sticker. So cheers to that. Shannon, you will be getting a couple stickers because you so kindly agreed to be a guest. Yes. So I'll get your address from you, yada yada. But they're good stickers. They're very high quality. I've gotten rave reviews on them so far. My mom put them on her work laptop. So if that doesn't tell you that this is a completely unbiasedly good podcast and good sticker, then I don't know what will.
That's a commitment from a mom.
I know, bless her. It really tickled me. But yeah, so again, Shannon, thank you so much for being on. And to all my listeners, stay ashamed and I'll catch you on the flip. Thank you so much to my patrons, Grace Murray, Lindsay, Morgan McCarthy, Alana Coleman, Kira Sears, Jillian Townsend, Schaefer Nelson, Clay Moyhan, Haley Pregnall, and Caroline Phelan. You all are the best, and if you are interested in becoming a patron and receiving a shout out like this at the end of every podcast, please check out the link in the description. Oh No's theme song was written, performed, and recorded by Katie Stahl and Mackenzie Haight, and the amazing cover art was done by Devante Burse, at Vante Burse on all socials, at Designed by Devante on Instagram.